All right, let me invite you tonight over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 3, verse 8. Psalm 3, verse 8.
Ready? Psalm 3, verse 8 reads this way: Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people. And then it says, Selah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your church, as your people. Lord, we ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you. Again, Lord, we pray that you would bless your word, bless your people, build your church for your honor and glory. Give us a greater understanding of your grace and mercy to us in our lives that we might share the great grace you've given to us to a lost and dying world. Bless and we'll praise you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, Salvation Belongeth Unto the Lord. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And tonight I want to consider just for a few moments the salvation that belongs to the Lord. And of course, when we consider the triune God, the Father, the Son, because we don't want to just say God anymore. There's so many gods out there, isn't there? Let's just be specific. That God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. That is the one true and only God. Now that might ruffle some feathers, amen? That might make some people upset. But there is no other name in heaven or in earth whereby men must be saved. And if it's not Jesus Christ, it's not salvation. You can be faithful, you can be dedicated to anything and everything, but if it's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and his eternal life, we've missed him completely. And so we want to be clear on that. And so, of course, we deal with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that he saves our soul, and that's that we think of our soul being eternal, but then he also saves our soul, and that means our life presently here on planet Earth as well. And so this psalm deals with God being the savior of our life. And so we know he saved our soul, but then he also wants to give us his life. He said, I want to give you my joy. I want to give you my peace. And so that is important to the Lord. And believe it or not, it was not a new concept that was developed in the New Testament. It's been a concept of the Lord from the very beginning that he planned to give us his love, his joy, and his peace. So tonight we'll consider really the spiritual battle. There is a spiritual battle. And we're going to take a look at trouble from without. That'll be the first thought. Secondly, trouble from within. And then the last thought will be God's blessings upon his people. So look with me, if you will, in verse 1. And let's look at trouble from without. Notice what he says here. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? You ever felt like that? Boy, it just gets increased, doesn't it? And you can have one trial and one trouble, then another one will pop up, then another one. But this is speaking of particular people that don't know the Lord, that are against the Lord, and they go after the saved. All right. Now, let me just say this. Not every lost person is against God. Not every lost person is against the people of God. But that is the spirit of those that are in the world. And here's what happens sometimes. There might be somebody that is so innocently a bystander, a lost person that's a bystander, and you could get a Christian to be witnessing, and then all of a sudden some of them get riled up. Because they're of the world, they have a potential of getting riled up and not even know why and persecute the believer as well. But these were specific attacks that were taking place in the life of David. And he says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And so here's David, and he's a man after God's own heart, and he's having a conversation. You can call this prayer, couldn't you? In fact, God had inspired him and led him to write this down so that you and I can understand the heart of David and the heart of God toward you and I. So we find here in verse 2 the reason for the opposition. Many there be which say of my soul, listen to this, there is no help for him in God. And then he says Selah, which means to think about this, meditate on this, chew the cud, if you will. And he says, again, he says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Who's saying that? The lost world. And why are they saying that? Why are they so, I used to have people tell me all different kinds of things that were against the Lord, all right? So, for example, I remember being at work one time, and this One coworker was telling me, "Boy, I knew a Christian family, and boy, they raised their daughter up, and boy, when she turned a certain age, man, she set the world on fire. She turned so far away from the Lord, and they were just cramming that down her throat. And she would have me to believe that the word of God is not true in training up a child in the way that he should go. I don't know what all the dynamics were inside this family." Maybe they weren't of the truth. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians that are not of the truth and that participate in the things of the world and act like the world because they don't know the Lord. And so maybe this girl grew up and saw the hypocrisy. I don't know. I really don't know. But the reason why they do that, and by the way, this coworker had a filthy mouth, all right? Let's just put it quite plainly. All right, so she had a filthy mouth. And so what she was doing was she was justifying herself, maybe not even knowingly, saying, "Oh, listen, Christianity is not much at all. There's nothing to Christianity." Well, there's only nothing to those who are not participating in it. Because if we participate in Christianity in the sense of receiving the Lord as our personal Savior, that's where the ball gets rolling. And then as we seek the Lord like David is here, then we're going to grow. But remember, the world, Jesus said, hated him. And if it hated him, it's going to hate us. So Jesus died to save the world, did he not? Okay, so he's not telling us that so that we get our guard up. He just doesn't want us to be surprised when it happens. And he wants us to find our rest and our peace in him. Because he does want us to be harmless as doves and share the gospel, but being led by the Spirit, knowing how and when to do it. You just cannot go without being led and expect God to do anything with the Word of God if we're just like a bull in a china cabinet, a china shop, right, as they say. You just can't storm in there. You've got to develop relationships, and you've got to be led by the Spirit. Now, I understand if you're on an airplane, you're never going to see that person, and you really feel led to share the gospel, right? But may you and I cultivate and call upon the Lord to give us a prayer life, to talk to the Lord and call upon him and walk with him. We can't expect to just turn it on by emotion. God's got to be working in our own personal lives. And so tonight we'll consider how that really takes place as well. So he says this in verse 2, "Many there be which say of my soul," they're saying of his soul. You can look at that as his eternal soul, that applies. You can look at that and say of his life here on earth, and that applies. And many people say of my soul, my eternal soul, and my life here on earth, there is no help for him in God. That's their observation. There's no help for him. Well, you know, I wonder those people that are saying that if they remembered the lion and the bear. There was help for him then, wasn't there? I wonder if they knew David when he stood up against Goliath. There was help for him there. I wonder if they knew David when Saul was persecuting him. I wonder if they knew David through all of his battles. No, listen, they make a blanket statement because deep down inside, they may not even realize it, they're trying to say that this Christianity, this God, there's not anything to him. There's no help. In other words, when they're saying there's no help, there's no point in any of us wasting our time with something that avails nothing. Well, obviously, they don't know the Lord like his children do. And then he says, Selah, he says, think about this, chew on this, understand what the Lord is saying. This is being written to you and I. David was experiencing it, but it was penned down in the canon of Scripture for you and I. When he says Selah there, to think about that. This is the case. This is what it's all about. But we're still sent to go out and be the light of the world and the salt of the earth to the lost. So there's trouble from without. Now let's consider trouble from within in verse 3. And so what this basically has to do with what God does for us when we trust him and call on him. And we call that prayer. That's an important part of our relationship with the Lord. God wants us to talk to him and to call upon him because we need him. If we don't call on the Lord, you know what we're saying? May not even realize it. I've got this, God. Or how about this one? I don't need you today. Oh, I don't know about that. I need the Lord because I really believe it. I am one step away from falling flat on my face and failing God without the Lord. I need God's power, God's grace in every step I take. I don't trust myself. I don't trust the flesh. And I don't trust the world. But there's one person I do trust. And I need him, the Lord, every day. And so he says, look, notice verse 3. But thou, O Lord, notice this, listen. He said, think about the world. Think about how they are at enmity with God. Think about how they're against the Lord. And he says, think about this. Now look at the next verse. Isn't this amazing? But thou art, O Lord. Remember, the world says, oh, there's no point in God. God's useless, right? But notice what David says. But thou, O Lord, art a what? You're a shield for me. Not only that, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. You know what David said? Let the world say what it may, I need you, God. Amen. Let the world do what it may, I need you, God. Do you know God wants you and I to have such a relationship with him that we realize more and more how much we need him. The more God does for us, see, don't get this backwards. We don't need God because of what we're going to do for him. We need God because of what he does for us. Listen, we don't need God because what we do for him. We need God because of what he does for us. Well, what does he do for us? The fruit of the Spirit, singular, all of it. You don't have to pray for patience. You don't have to pray for gentleness. You don't have to pray for long suffering. All we need is the Lord. And God will do that work in and through our lives. So David said, look, Lord, I know to me, you're a shield. Not only that, but you bring your glory into my life. You're my glory. You're what I rejoice in and the lifter up of mine head. Do you think David ever had a down day? Amen. Listen, in the midst of it, we know where to turn to. All the emotions that God has given to us, I hope you never feel bad about a single one of them. But know where your peace and your joy, where our peace and where our joy and our comfort and our confidence come from. Definitely not the world. Definitely not ourselves. Only one place, and that's the Lord. So he says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord. Verse 4, has David only cried just one or two times? We were just studying in Sunday school, men's Sunday school class not too long ago about David and Ziklag, right? And they all cried, right? When they thought all their family was destroyed or gone, they all cried until they had no more power to weep. I'd say they did some serious crying, don't you? I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Then what does he say? Selah. Think about this. Listen. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Meditate on that. Selah. Listen, you and I are here tonight because we cried unto the Lord with our voice, and he heard us out of his holy hill. There are, and what I mean by that is we could have a mere existence, but the reason why you and I are seeking God is because be he what he may to the world, to you and me, he's our Savior. To both of us, listen, to all of us as his children, we know that he's our Redeemer. We know that he's our Sustainer. We know that the Lord is our shield, our glory, and the lifter up of our heads. Amen. He's the one. Why do we need our heads lifted up? Because they're hanging low. Amen. Because there's things that happen in this life. There's things that happen in this world. And God has a way of saying, oh, listen. Listen. I want to say it like this. I was going to tell you something. I held back here just for a second. Listen. This world has its trials, has its tribulations. But for the believer, if we'll trust the Lord, everything is good and getting better. What do I mean by that? God is good to us. God is faithful. He cannot be unfaithful. He is faithful. That means he will be there every time. And by faith or trust, God is trustworthy. Faithful, trustworthy. All right? And all we need to do is reciprocate that trust in our God's great faithfulness to us. And he lifts up our head. The world is going to be at odds with us, but he's the one who is consistently there for you and me, hears us, and cares for our troubles and trials. But for the believer, as we yield to the Lord, he keeps blessing our way and showing us and bringing us through those things that would take people out, because he is faithful. He lifts us up over and through those things. And by the way, it gets better. We get more experience. And with more experience, we get greater faith and greater grace. Until the one day, listen, for the believer, the best is yet to come. And listen, it's not getting darker for us. The world is getting darker. But for you and I, as a saved child of God, the days are getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And tell me, what will the brightness be in that day that we see our Savior face to face? I don't know. Listen, hasn't even entered into my mind, but we don't need the sun anymore when we see Jesus. Amen? Amen. I don't understand that, but I believe it wholeheartedly, and I'm thankful for it. So notice this here. Trouble from within. And so he says, verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. In other words, I lived another day. I slept and I woke up. I slept and I woke up. I slept and I woke up. And one day if we sleep, we will always wake up whenever we go to sleep. Even if it's not in this life, it'll be in the life to come. And we thank the Lord for that. So he says this. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. I wonder this person or people, because it says many, verse 2, there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. I wonder if they had any idea what that statement repeated by many different people was going to do for the child of God. What did it do for David? It drew him to the Lord. It drew him to God. I remember when I first got saved, I believe I was 24 years old, and my roommate was a fireman. And I didn't even realize I was doing this, but I I did not realize he noticed. I couldn't wait to get home and get into the Word of God, and I'd stay up till 11, 12, maybe 1 o'clock sometimes. And he would come knock on my door, ask me something, open the door. And I wasn't doing it for him to see, but he noticed that I was reading my Bible. About 3 months go by in my new, brand new Christian life. And he knocked on the door one time, opened it up and said, yeah, we got one of those Christians. We got one of those Christians at the firehouse. And I told him about you reading your Bible. I didn't know I was making an announcement. But anyway, I told him, and he said, he read the Bible through a few times and then put it down, never picked it up again. And you'll do the same. And he shut the door. And I was friends with him. And I rolled out of bed and got on my knees. And I said, oh God, please don't ever let that happen to me. Oh God, please don't ever let that. He scared me. I don't want. And you know what? Listen, we ought to walk like that before the Lord, knowing how much we need the Lord. I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to be a shipwrecked life. And the only way we can do that is if we walk on this side of eternity hand in hand with the one who loves our soul. And so he says, I will not be, verse 6, be afraid of 10,000s of people. I don't think he had 10,000s of people tell them, but he had many. The Bible says many. And you know what David is saying? I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. He says, I'll not be afraid. Why? Because David was so tough? No, he knew his God. Amen. He knew the faithfulness of his God. And David's God, as faithful as he is to David, is faithful to us. And so we praise God for that. Verse 7, arise, O Lord, save me. These are not empty words. He knows the Lord is faithful. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies. It is done upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Now, he's not wishing. He's just saying, so what are we dealing with? They were speaking words. You know what he was saying? God hit them to stop them with the word, to stop the words. See, he wasn't really. He wasn't. This is a metaphor here. He was not saying that. Oh God! He wasn't even wishing that God would hit them all in the jawbone and break their teeth. He was just saying that, boy, if you got broken teeth, you're not doing a lot of talking. And so God can put a stop to that. Even if they keep talking, in the heart and mind of David, they're done, because he is confident in his God. Last thought. We see the trouble from without. Then there's trouble from within. And by the way, God is faithful when we call on him, when we trust in him. And then we see God's blessings upon his people. Look at this, verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Not just eternal life, but sometimes we need to be saved in this present life. Amen? We need to be saved from whatever trial, from whatever difficulty, we need whatever storm we're in the middle of. May we not take our eyes off of our Savior. Salvation, because salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Listen to this. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And then what does he say? Selah. Think about this. Listen, as a saved child of God, you belong to the Lord. And as a child of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord are on us as his people. Think about that. What a way to go through the day. Amen. God's blessings are upon me. If he freely gave us his son, will he not also freely give us all things that we need on this side? So salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Amen. And because you belong to him, God's salvation in our lives is sure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the encouragement, the comfort that it brings, the assurance, and the experience of your great faithfulness. Bless us, Lord, your people. Build Northwood for your honor and glory, and bless as we break off our prayer. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.